Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM with your host, Danny Nezvedarani, and we are broadcasted on the unceded and ancestral lands of the Hulkamalum and Squamish-speaking peoples who have been here on these lands since time immemorial. And today, we have a very special episode because we have two in-studio live guests. Would you like to both introduce yourselves?
Absolutely. My name is Autumn Jean Cairns. I'm the curator of Collective Disorder back at CJSF for the second time. And with me I have...
Hi, I'm Ivan Yankovic. I'm the executive director of Venue Co-op, and we're teaming up to put on a very cool event called Disorder XI 11.
Disorder 11.
That's easier.
Well, we kind of go back and forth between do we pronounce the Roman numerals as the letters that they are or the numbers, depending on what sounds cooler. Mm-hmm. This time, I think Disorder 11 sounds cooler.
Mm-hmm. Were Roman numerals like an intentional decision?
Yeah, they just look cool.
They do look cool. I agree with that. And we're here today because, you know, last time you were here, we spoke about the previous Collective Disorder event that was occurring, I believe, at Redgate.
That's right. Same as this one.
Yeah. And now we're back again with Disorder 11.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a pretty stacked lineup this time.
Oh, my God.
I feel like we could talk about it for so long. So that's what we're going to do. And to start, I guess, when did you start planning this this next event?
I mean, I got started thinking about it immediately after. I mean, probably even during the setup time for Disorder X. But... I gave myself a little bit longer of a gestation period for this one because I had a lot going on in my life. I got divorced back in February and moved to a new place, started a couple new jobs, and then also wanted to, I think, get back in touch with what the art that I wanted to be making and putting on stage at the next show. And then once I had figured that out, then was able to kind of build the rest of the lineup around that theme. Because it's, you know, happening in the height of summer. This is the first time the show is happening on a Friday instead of a Sunday. So it just feels a little bit more action-packed, I guess. And it's very much got this theme of, like, a summer of lust, a summer of rebellion, a summer of defiance. And all of the performers that are going to be at the show have so much to bring to the table in terms of those themes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think I even noticed just the way that it seemed like it was going to be formatted. It very much seems like a Friday night event, whereas I feel like Sunday, you know, even if it's not intentional, I feel like there's always a thing in the back of your head of like, oh, you got to respect people's time. You know, people work on Mondays. It's Friday. You got 2 days to recover. You know, let's go crazy.
And it's so, Pride weekend.
So exactly.
People want to go crazy.
Yeah. You got to give the people what they want.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a Sunday show almost feels like the day equivalent of doing a 3 a.m. show, where it's like, it's the witching hour, and we're going to get weird, and we're going to get spooky. And Friday night's a little bit more. That's like your, I don't know, 9 p.m. equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if comparing days and times is a helpful metaphor. But
makes sense, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I remember the last Disorder X because I performed in it with my band Doom Loops, and there definitely seemed to be this residual energy that people wanted to go. They wanted to keep going. And so I think this was part of also your inspiration for having like the DJ component and making it more of a longer form event.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, there's always anytime at pretty much any of the previous disorders, there's a sense of like, does it have to end already? Are you sure we can't keep going? And so I really wanted to tap in with that. And also, you know, the last show was by far the best attended out of all of the disorders and I'm part of the reason I'm so excited for this one is because the announcement post for this one got twice as much engagement as the one for The Last Disorder. So I feel very excited about how good the turnout's going to be, and therefore how many people are going to be there wanting to party late into the night or early into the morning. So,
yeah, absolutely. How is the night starting?
Well, we're starting out, it's doors at 7 and the show starts at 8, and I love to do the variety portion of the night first and then move into bands and DJs after. So the show is going to be hosted by local comedian Anna Kay, who is hilarious. And I was doing some postering with her the other day, and she was sharing with me, here's some of the crazy shit that I've been up to in my life that I'm going to turn into comedy. So that's going to be amazing. We've got clowning from Nico Pente. We have a drag performance from local drag thing, Sassafras. And then I am teaming up with drummer Morgan Sidke, who's the drummer for the band Beastie that Ivan is also in. And together we're doing a spoken word and improvised jazz performance.
Damn. Okay. that's so cool. I interviewed Charlie a few months ago for Beastie.
Nice.
And yeah, it seems like Beastie is a group that is just always in flux and always doing something cool and different and mm-hmm. and a little wacky in that
Definitely.
Sense. So like hearing that isn't like shocking, but it is cool. It is very cool to hear.
I mean, I almost feel like, and you can tell me if you agree with this, Ivan, since you're in the band, but it almost feels more like an art collective than a band at times.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of really quirky musicians putting all of their chaos together in a band. And it's really funny because I've played in a bunch of bands, but Beastie is an experience. When you're playing, it's like being in a rocket ship. You know, it could go in any direction. Anything could happen. There could be pool noodle fights.
Mm-hmm.
There could be people drawing, and I don't know. It's a really fun and creative time.
A spectrum of all the way from one end where you have the calm tranquility of some people in the corner, the low stem area, just doodling with crayons, and all the other way. On the other end of the spectrum, you have people beating the crap out of each other with pool noodles.
It's truly a band by and for neurodivergent people. It's like it's got everything. So yeah, Beastie is a fun time for sure.
That's awesome. Anna Kay is going to be hosting. Mm-hmm. What is that going to look like? Is it just kind of introducing each act? Is Anna Kay going to be telling some jokes or?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, she's emceeing the event and then is also going to be the first set doing probably like 8 to 10 minutes of comedy. I've seen her perform at a bunch of local events because I also do comedy from time to time. So I've seen her perform at local open mics, like gender neutral comedy, Laughs and Queer, that kind of thing. And yeah, she's she also did recently like a crowd work competition. I wish I had the details of that better memorized, but I know she's been working really hard on the ability to connect and, you know, improvise punchlines with people in the crowd in the moment, which is so difficult to do. But when you nail it, it kind of sets the room on fire, and she's so good at that.
Yeah, crowd work, I think, is one of those things where, like, it's so impressive and so fun, but at the same time, horrifies me as a concept of being in that crowd and being the person that becomes a part of it. But I think that's part of the experience, is like you don't know. And
yeah, well, it kind of, I suppose, the fear of public speaking, like, oh gosh, I hope the teacher doesn't call on me, so then I have to answer in front of the class.
Yeah.
But that's what I love about that happening at a comedy show, because like they got you. They're calling on you because they've got something funny to say.
This is something I've had to get used to because so many of my friends are now in comedy, is like the crowd work part, because I'm also very nervous about being the one picked for crowd work. But I think it's more consensual in like queer comedy spaces where people will ask like, hey, you know, raise your hand if da-da-da, and then you point at them, versus like, hey, random person in the audience, don't let it be me.
It's also, there's just kind of a shared like cultural framework. Like, you could be on stage and be like, hey, you there in the fishnets, and then half the crowd raises their hands.
Totally, yeah. Yes.
That's, yeah, I could. That's funny.
Yeah. I mean, hey, I've been working on my comedy too. So
is that possibly going to be incorporated for you in OAuth Disorder?
Yeah, to an extent. This has been a really interesting period of making art for me because, you know, the last time I was here, I was talking about this performance that I was doing as a collab with How to Survive a High-Rise Hotel Fire. They're a local noise jazz duo. And it was a very, for me, it was a really beautiful but also a very heavy performance. You know, it involved like a grief ritual and building a cairn on stage. And so it was a lot of physical labor and also a lot of emotional labor. And it felt like this very electrifying moment of connection between us performers and the crowd, where we were all sharing in our sense of collective grief and collective catharsis from that grief of we're building something new so we can move on together. And then we got to go moshing after when Tall Mary came on and Doom Loops as well. But moving on from that, I was like, okay, I feel I've had so much to say on these heavy subjects, and I want to take a step forward, and I want to move into something that feels a little bit more, you know, moving from ashes into fire, so to speak. And I got into this writing workshop hosted by Fee Pettigara, who is an incredible local author and writing coach. And she does these events called Queer Lust Stories. And she's also done some workshops in tandem with them. And it's exactly what it sounds like. It's, you know, thinking about what are moments throughout your life that are important to you in your story of queer lust. What does that mean to you? Is it sexual? Is it romantic? Is it, you know, is platonic lust even a thing? And if so, I'm sure we can find a way to write about it. And so, I did that workshop back in the spring, and I just wrote this story about a friend of mine from college where I was trans femme and he was trans masc, and we were both early transition going kind of in the opposite direction as each other. And that was, you know, we had a very fun and sexy encounter. And then I'm doing another workshop with her and getting ready to perform. Actually, there's going to be a Queer Lust Stories show this Saturday. And what I've been working on is, okay, it's great to be stepping forward into wanting to write about lust and wanting to feel a little bit more in my body in my work. And kind of come out of my head and just feel things physically. But at the same time, there's still all of that, there's a lot of grief present. And one of the things that's kind of been complicated, but also great for making art about it, is there's a lot of contrasts there between lust and grief. I got a couple of years ago, the thing that I'm have been grieving is a couple of years ago as part of my transition getting surgery, and through that losing my fertility permanently, losing the ability to have children. And so when my body changed that way, my relationship to my own identity changed, my relationship to my own sexuality changed, and there was this unexpected sense of incredible loss of not being able to create life with my body anymore. And that, you know, in a way that I sort of thought that I was ready for, but it turned out that I really wasn't. And that's been a continuous process of, you know, learning how to carry that, but then also finally feeling ready to experience other things and experience like the other things that, you know, our bodies need and things that we as queer people need to feel in our existence. I sort of feel like lust and grief is a two-headed goddess where one face is weeping at what she's lost and the other is biting her lip at what she's discovered. So I'm trying to unify those things in my writing and in this performance. Yeah, it's to finally answer your question about am I bringing comedy into this. Yeah, it's a little funny. It's a little sexy. It's a little sad. But it also feels very much like the thing I want to be making right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean that's like that encompasses a lot.
Sure.
And in the way that like I think just like daily life encompasses a lot, you know? I mean these are emotions that I think people are often experiencing like throughout the day, sometimes at the exact same time, right? Mm-hmm. And I think having a performance that sort of portrays that in a way that maybe can make people feel seen as well. In that regard, is really cool. So I'm really excited to learn more about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit too about the bands that are performing, how that got decided. Specifically, because I noticed there were some heavy hitters.
Oh my God, tell me about it. Yeah. Well, I feel so stoked that we've got Sundress and Slowicide are headlining the show, and then we also have DJ Dyke Tiger going late at night. And I mean, I'm extremely excited to be sharing the stage with these bands. I had actually reached out to both of them for Disorder X back several months ago. And they had both gotten back to me and said, hey, we're so down, we can't do that day. But keep us in mind for the future. So I did. And I got in touch with them a couple months ago. And they were both like, not only are we still down, but we are available that day. So, yeah, I'm very excited that it's worked out. I've seen them both live multiple times. They're both, I think, you know, going to fit on a bill incredibly well together. And they both bring this sense of, like, you know, incredible punk defiance and the ability to get everyone to get up and move and scream and shout together. And also, you know, Slowicide is all femme-fronted, and I think seeing that in a city like Vancouver is just so incredible and so inspiring. And I love, like, feminine rage on stage. You know, it's truly a sight to behold. So yeah, great tunes, great everything.
How are they gonna fit in the lineup? Like, how, I guess, does that get formatted in when you think about, like, fitting in comedy and spoken word and then two insane, loud, awesome bands?
Oh, yeah. That's my favorite part. That's the alchemy of putting a show like this together, is what do I want? I want to have a kind of full spectrum of emotion. And, you know, this is the kind of, like, the tagline that I always use for the show, but something to make you laugh, something to make you cry, mm-hmm. something to make you want to get up and dance. But I like to do it kind of in that order as well, you know, starting off with, like, laughs to get everyone comfortable. There's going to be, you know, it's a weird night. We're going to have a lot of different genres and a lot of different things. So let's ease into it with some comedy and then get a little weird. You know, in this case, we're going to get right into some clowning from Nico Pante, who is just such an incredible performer and, you know, is going to, I think, start bringing in some of those themes of we're being a little sexy, but we're also being very silly. And I usually, when I perform, I like it to kind of anchor the night by being like, this is as heavy as it's going to get. It's this time, you know, it's much more lighthearted than the performance I did last time, but there's still elements of grief there, but also they're sexy as well. And it turns out you can actually be sad and horny at the same time. And then after that, we're going to cap the variety portion of the night off with a performance from Sassafras, who is so sexy and so scary at the same time. It's like your sleep paralysis demon that you're like, why am I so turned on right now? And then take a little breather, go out for a smoke bake and go into the break, and then go into the bands. A smoke bake. When you're getting baked by smoking.
Sorry.
New slang term, just
smoke bake.
So, yeah.
Get a little smoke bake before the show.
Do you smoke? Do you bake? Do you smoke bake? So yeah, to answer your question, look, if I'm gonna make a faux pas, I'm gonna make an entire conversation about it. I love to have the kind of weirdness, the experimentality, the full spectrum of creativity at the start of the night, where you can, like, sit and watch and enjoy and let all of the weird different artsy stuff wash over you, and then as, like, the yummy reward for your patience and your ability to sit and be present for all of this art, then we get to, like, get up and scream and headbang and, you know, let our makeup run wild and, you know, have an awesome time until, I don't even know how late the show is going to go. It depends how long people stay there, but planning to go at least until midnight or 1 a.m. or something. So we got you covered.
Awesome. Yeah, because you're the executive director for Venue Co-op.
Yeah.
I guess I want to switch gears a bit, because I was also very curious as to, like, how that ended up being the case for you.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, if we want to go deep into that.
Sure. And it we can tie it back to this event eventually as well.
Absolutely.
Venue Co-op was a fever dream that I had maybe probably about a year and a half ago at this point. So I play in a number of bands, and it's getting really hard to book places to play, and just opportunities to perform are limited for bands in the city in Vancouver and Burnaby, and like where we have a growing music scene that needs places to perform. And so I was I just had this urge to like start a venue. But I have worked in the cooperative sector for much of my quote unquote career, starting worker co-ops and things like that. So starting a cooperative venue was kind of my default, was like, hey, let me see if my friends want to get in on this and maybe we can co-own something together. I ended up not only inviting my friends, but doing a public call out and postering the entire city with invitations to like help start a cooperative venue. And we had our first kind of public info session in April 2025. Autumn was there.
Mm-hmm.
Autumn's been at pretty much every formative meeting of Venue Co-op since the very beginning.
I mean, I'd love to take all of the credit, which would be impossible to do, but I would love to.
Let's share it. This is co-op. This is the co-op, Autumn.
No, chill, my gosh.
Out over there. But yeah, so anyways, we really galvanized around our first demonstration event, which was called Everything But the Bagel. And it was like a DIY music and arts festival, 24 hours. It was crazy. It was like a giant disorder. In fact, there was a disorder that was part of Everything But the Bagel.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a micro Everything Bagel within an Everything Bagel of just like crazy things going on all day.
Yeah, there's a lot of layers here.
Yes. Please jump in if you have any questions.
24 hours. Were you there for 24 hours?
Yes. I was there probably more than that. I felt this responsibility, since it was my insane idea to start this thing, and enough people really wanted to be involved and like support it. I felt like I have to do this. I have to I want this to work out, and I want to create a space where everyone can try out their crazy ideas together under one roof. We rented this warehouse essentially that I used to work bar at. It was like a after hours place. So I kind of had the connection there, and I had always wanted to organize some crazy festival like this. So I felt committed to being there from 6 a.m. The morning of to 6 a.m. the next day. It was a little crazy. This year we're doing it again, but it's 12 hours instead of 24 hours, because we realized 24 is kind of a lot of time, and like people want to go home and maybe we can streamline a little bit while still maintaining the ethos of beautiful chaos.
I'd imagine that organizing an event like that would just like permanently change your perception of organizing anything, because now you're like, oh, 4 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever, that's...
Truly.
In comparison. So organizing this collective disorder also just must have been so easy for you, am I right?
I was not involved in that.
Okay.
Autumn does that. Autumn's just been doing that the entire time by herself. And now we're teaming up, which is awesome.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's great because Ivan is such an incredible both artist and also collaborator and organizer. And whenever I talk about Venue Co-op, I try to strike that balance of it's a co-op and it's a collective effort. And it's been the effort of dozens of people over the last year and a half to like very gradually, but also very powerfully, I think, build what we've done and put on all these events. To get formally
incorporated.
Thank you. Incorporated as a collective with the city. But also, wanting to give Ivan his roses for, being the impetus behind it and kind of being the driving force behind all of this, being like the, what's that thing for the, like a cow plow at the front of a train? Like you've been...
Cool.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know what it's called, but yeah.
That kind of like bulldozer at the front of a train.
Yeah,
I feel like you've been like clearing obstacles for us and giving us a sense of momentum, and it's been, fantastic.
Thank you so much.
It's a lovely metaphor. I feel like there's definitely a name for that, but I can't place it.
It's cow something.
Okay.
Hey, I'm into that.
Get in the comments.
Yeah, I mean, do you find that, like, what are your thoughts just on, I guess, the general, like, ecosystem of music venues and performance in Vancouver at the moment? Mm. And does that give you, I guess, like, a feeling or a sense of, like, responsibility or importance with what you're doing with Venue Co-op?
Yeah, totally. I think we're in a tough spot right now. It feels like, you know, we're at the end of an election cycle, and it feels like our current, at least in Vancouver, our current mayor and crew are doing a final push to really, like, kill culture in the city. And yeah, like, venues have always faced a lot of challenges in terms of, like, permitting and legislation, and the cost of keeping the lights on for some of these spaces in a market like Vancouver, and that really affects smaller venues and DIY venues and queer venues primarily. So, you know, that affects artists because we need places to perform. We need studios to rehearse and things like that. So there's a lot of gaps in the ecosystem. There's incredible venues that have kept operating despite all odds, like Redgate, you know, shout out for keeping it going for like 15 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
They've been at it.
And they just finally put a sign up.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Now you know where it is.
Yeah, it's not just the Red Door anymore.
Yeah.
It's also a big sign.
Yeah. Coming out of the shadows and into the light.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think just noticing that, we need to preserve our existing spaces. We need to build more. It shouldn't be so hard to start a venue. Anyone should be able to do it. And yet it is rather challenging. So I think that's why we're going slow with Venue Co-op. We don't have a venue yet, but we're working towards it. We're essentially building a foundation. We're building our membership. We're building an audience. We're honing our skills for organizing bigger events and running venues. Like, we work closely with Redgate, and we're learning the ropes there. And we're figuring out permitting and all this stuff and, you know, building partnerships so that one day, hopefully in the near future, we will open a venue and it will never get shut down. It will live forever. And it will be owned by all the members.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think it's continuing that sort of quote unquote everything but the bagel mentality, because we've got all the seasonings, we've got all the flavors in terms of the artistry and the just like incredible amount of shared competency and experience in working in cooperatives and working in venues and working with the city, working with the government. There's just, yeah, so much shared talent and skill, I think, between all the people that have come together for Venue Co-op. And so we have all of those ingredients, and we're letting the bagel, so it's, you know, the venue, if you will continue the metaphor, we're letting that, you know, take its time, because we want to make sure when we get there that the same thing isn't going to happen to us that, for example, happened to 648 recently, or Take Your Time Back, mm-hmm. Where, you know, it's this incredible local venue that so many artists have the opportunity to cut their teeth at, and it's such a low barrier of entry both for artists and for audience members, and the city sees that, and they're like, well, we can't let that happen, so.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bleak in some ways, but I'd imagine that, like, if you're going to get involved with something like Venue Co-op, there's no one, I'd imagine, that would just be like, yeah, I guess I'll join that. You know, why not? Like, I'd imagine if you're in it, you're really in it.
I mean, there's a wide spectrum. So we opened our membership in January, and there's all sorts of members. Like, some people are just in it to eventually get, like, a performance opportunity, because we prioritize members when we book and stuff. Some just want to support the cause. But a lot of people become very committed. And to me, as like the person who kind of instigated, it's such an honor when anybody gives any amount of time for something that you're doing. And it feels really special, because I've tried to start a lot of things, and this one has a lot of momentum. And it's like, how do we make membership not only worth it for the value that people are contributing, but also like a real a net in which you can cast all your skills and hopes and time and effort to make something together, and like a dedicated community of people who want to do stuff together is so cool to have.
Mm-hmm. It's very special.
we have a magic Discord where you can put an idea in there and like 10 people will go, hell yeah, and then actually do a thing. It's really cool.
Maybe the real magic is community.
It is. It yeah. is. I mean, that's all. Like, we're not inventing anything new here. We're yeah. like, hey, let's just get together and do a thing.
It does feel like also, like, despite it all, the arts community.